Okay, as we're about to start the next siman here in the Shulchan Aruch, Taf Lamed Aleph, it's worth introducing the laws of Bdikas Chametz by taking a step back to reflect on a very intricate topic in the first parak of Masechta Pesachim. The Torah tells us, Ach vayom arishon tashbisu se'or mi batechem, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so we have the big bread burn. Sigi, thank you so much for all of your efforts. We're gathering the sponsors right now of actually destroying the Chametz. So the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Dalid, has an interesting line where it says, mi d'oraisa, on the Torah level, bebitol be'alma sagile, that bitol suffices. So the question is, when we say that kol chamira vechamia, etc., etc., libatol v'levi hefker ka'afra da'ara, that it should be nullified and be ownerless like the dust of the earth. So what exactly are we accomplishing? What did the Gemara mean when it said this suffices on the Torah level? So Rashi says that after all, the pasuk only says tashbisu from the root shin bet tav, lishbos, to cease and desist. Doesn't say you actually have to burn the chametz. So he thinks on the Torah level that this actually suffices not just to remove the chametz from our possession so we don't violate the two isurim, the two violations associated with the ownership of chametz, bayirah, bayimatzeh, but this actually suffices for the mitzvahs aseh, for the positive commandment of having to expunge the chametz, because he says, hashbasa delev, an internal nullification in the heart, suffices for the purpose of the mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbisu. The Bali Atosus disagree, and they say, no, that's not what the line of the Gemara meant. The line of the Gemara meant that it's sufficient on the Torah level to do bittul, to nullify your connection to the chametz, only in terms of not owning the chametz on Pesach, in terms of the isurim of Bali Matzeh. But actually to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbisu, there, the Bali Atosus passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that you actually have to burn the chametz. And so we, of course, do both. We do bittul and we do biur. But in terms of what you're accomplishing when you do one or the other, so that subject is machlokas between Rashi and Tosus, as we said. So with that in mind, it's important to also introduce the view of the Ran, where the Ran says the truth is on the Torah level, either bittul or biur, either nullification or burning the chametz would suffice. But the reason the rabbis instituted both of them, even though mida araisa, one or the other would have been sufficient, is that they're complementary. And this will lead us right into the halacha on the Shulchan Aruch. In what sense did the Ran mean that they're complementary? He says the following, that if you only did bittul chametz, you'd have the following problem. Bittul is very effective because it means chametz that you see and that you don't see, you can nullify it. But because it's something which relates to a person's, what we call gemiras das, it has to do with the person's inner conviction, we're not sure how seriously people mean it. Like what happens if they found $10,000 worth of chametz, you know, over the course of Pesach, where they really want it to be nullified. And therefore, it helps to make sure to search out the chametz and to destroy the chametz. Of course, we do a mechira, which is a completely different story, and we'll talk about that as we get a little bit closer. But because it's an internal matter, there's a little bit of a concern there. How serious are people going to be about it? That's number one. Number two, if you're only relying on bittul, and you wouldn't actually search out the chametz and destroy it, what's going to happen on Pesach when you find chametz? As the Gemara says, you find a beautiful donut, you find a beautiful muffin, you say, I'd like to eat that. So, shema yimtza gluska yefesvia vidate ilave, you might have, again, a desire to come to own it, or you might actually come to eat it. So that's the weakness of bittul. On the other hand, if you only did beer chametz, if you only searched out and destroyed the chametz, what happens to chametz that you own that you didn't actually find? So you'd violate for ownership. So bittul is important to inoculate against ownership of chametz that you wouldn't otherwise have found and destroyed. So that's the basic overview, the position of Rashi, that in fact bittul accomplishes hashbasa on a d'oraisa level. The disagreement that the Bali Atosos have, they feel that it only is sufficient for nullification of ownership, but not for the mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbis, of actually destroying. And the Ran, who says you have two co-equal tracks in terms of how you can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, each one is complementary, so the rabbis found the need for both. So the first Mishnah in Pesachim says, Or le'arbasar bodkin es hachametz le'or haner. Or le'arbasar is a very interesting term. The first few dapin in Masechta Pesachim try to figure out what we mean when we say or le'arbasar. Or means literally light. So the Gemara figures out that it really means is nighttime, but maybe it's the part of nighttime when there's still light outside. So there are three different positions in the Rishonim, what exactly or means. The Ravid seems to suggest that it's even before Ben Hashmashos, even before sunset comes in, before Shkia. There's a middle view, which is that it's between Shkia, between sunset and Seis HaKochavim. We paskin like the view here, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's at the very first part of Seis HaKochavim. So as soon as Seis HaKochavim happens, about 42 minutes after sunset, you should immediately start to do the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. And that's exactly how the Shulchan Aruch rules. B'tchilas Leil Arba Asar B'Nisan. Leil means after the stars come out, 42 minutes following sunset. Bodkin es hachametz l'or haner. We use a candle, because as the Gemara explains, or haner is yafa l'bedika. You can see things very well with a candle. Why do we do it at night and not in the morning? Bnei Adam mitzuyim bevateihem. That's when people happen to be around. Bechorin uvistakin. You check all of those areas, the nooks and the crannies. Bechol makomo shetzarech lahachnis sham chametz. Shederech, excuse me, lahachnis sham chametz. Any place where it's the derech, it's the normal state of affairs that you'd bring chametz in there. But we do define this pretty broadly, not insanely. Again, the Mishnah says, Makom she ein machnisin sham chametz, ein tzarech bedika. A place where you never bring chametz certainly doesn't require bedikas chametz. So people, sometimes they drive themselves crazy searching underneath the washing machine. Who's putting chametz there? So that, unfortunately, can be really overdoing it. But even if you just bring chametz into a place on occasion, that's sufficient, and the Mishnah Berurah points out, to qualify as derech lahachnis sham chametz. So it's not only, let's say, your kitchen and your dining room area or whatever it is that people eat, but if you know that you move around with food, so that is an important thing to be aware of. All those places would require the bedikas chametz. This is just one of the many reasons why it's good to keep food restricted to a particular area in the household, so that the food doesn't go upstairs, food doesn't go into rooms that aren't used for eating. If food goes all over the place, then of course that would expand the scope of the places in one's house where you could say that chametz is typically brought into those places.